ESPN 107.3 presents the Mid-Mo Smoke Show with expert advice from the pitmaster, Lyle Quast, owner of the Ring of Fire Barbecue in Sullivan on ESPN 107.3.
Hey, welcome to the Mid-Mo Smoke Show on ESPN 107.3 in beautiful Rolla, Missouri. I'm your host, the pitmaster, Lyle Quast, owner and operator of Ring of Fire Barbecue Food Truck and Catering in Sullivan. As usual, in the studio is my co-host and my producer, Colin Fisher. You can join me every Saturday at 9 a.m. right here on Midmo's ESPN 107.3 or online at ESPN1073.com to listen to any of our previous shows. And as always, if you have anything you would like to add, just give us a call or text us at 573-BBQ-BBQ9. And we are also can be heard, what is it called, iPods, iTunes?
We've got our podcast available on iTunes, Blog Talk, Spreaker. Pretty much, if you just Google Mid-Mo Smoke Show, you'll find it somewhere.
So we got everything covered. We got every one of them eye things out there. So, you know, as a little pun, you can keep an eye on us.
Yeah, you can do probably, I think, TuneIn. We're definitely on TuneIn. And if you've got the Amazon Echo, you should be able to find it through there. And so we're very accessible.
Well, and this first segment is brought to you by Peterson Oil. You know, they fill propane tanks. They're an asphalt company. They're family-owned in Sullivan and surrounding areas. And since 1934, and working with Peterson is a pretty good blast, and I'll bet you this past week there was a lot of people thought of the name Peterson Oil.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, everything's going good that way. And, you know, this week we're going to continue this like we did last week, talking about getting meat ready. We just basically talked about briskets. We nicked a little bit about pork last mm-hmm. week. And it's simple when it's all said and done, but people get nervous about it and don't get – and I want to tell people, don't get nervous, because once you've done it a couple of times, it's just like old hat. So, you know, we like I said, we got the brisket in, how to get it all ready and the different fats on there and stuff. So we're going to continue on. And pork actually has got two different segments, I guess you could say. You got your pulled pork or your pork shoulders and your ribs. And the pork shoulders are there's basically nothing to do to them.
Yeah, it's
you know
a hunk of meat you throw on the grill.
I like to inject mine. And the top fat that's on there, the fat cap, I like to cut diamonds in it, I guess you would say,
mm-hmm.
or checkerboard, whatever, because as it's cooking, it's opening up and letting all the seasoning and the rub and everything get down in there.
Right.
And my injection's real simple. You can't get easier than just apple juice and a little bit of white pepper.
Hmm.
Because apples, you know, pork chops and applesauce, so apples and pork go good together.
Yeah, and just like if you're doing ribs, apple juice is going to, you know, tenderize that meat and
absolutely
add a real nice flavor at the same time.
And you know, what I do with mine, I'm telling you, and then people can just take that for what it's worth. Maybe they want to tweak it, you know, and make it better for them. But like my pork butt, I rub it down first with mustard.
Mm-hmm.
And there's two reasons for that. The vinegar in the mustard is going to help tenderize the pork. And the mustard on there is going to help your rub stay on. And once it's smoked and everything, you're not even going to be able to tell there was mustard on there.
Oh, yeah. The flavor of the mustard never really comes through, but it's kind of like a primer
right.
when you're painting.
And I like the idea that it's going to keep that rub on there longer. Because, you know, as a pork butt's cooking, it renders down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Fat's coming off. It's going to wash some of that off. So, and that's why I diagonally, you know, or checkerboard my fat cap, too.
Mm. So do you spritz?
Yes, I do. Apple juice.
Yep. I think my dad's tried this, but you can also substitute in Jim Beam apple for a little bit of that bourbon flavor.
And don't worry about the alcohol, because while it's cooking, the alcohol's cooking off. All you can do is have that flavor. And I used to pour just regular Jim Beam,
mm-hmm.
you know, one of them little airplane bottles.
Sure.
In a big spritz bottle of apple juice, I would pour that in there.
Oh, yeah.
Basically the same effect.
Right.
You know, and you spritz for two reasons. One's for flavor and one's for moisture. Mm-hmm. You know, when you open it up before you spritz, you look at it, it looks like it's going to be just the driest piece of meat you ever had. Spritz it just a little bit, all of a sudden it comes back to life. And at the end, when you're pulling it apart and you get to sample it, that's what it's all about. Excuse me. And the one thing people, I like to tell them when they're starting to cook pork butts, pork shoulders, when you can grab that bone and just pull it out of there, you've got a perfect pork shoulder. Mm-hmm. And it will pull out just clean as can be, makes probably all the hound dogs in the neighborhood upset because there's no meat on there, but you have done very well if you can do that.
Yeah, I remember my dogs were over and I made a batch of ribs and they got a hold of one of the bones and I have never seen them more protective of something. That was hard to wrestle away.
Yeah, they get that way. And then with the ribs, when you know prepping the ribs, it's just as simple as the pork shoulder, except I don't know how everybody is out there or if they understand. There's that membrane on the back. Mm-hmm. I pull the membrane.
Yeah.
And two reasons. When you're cooking, that membrane gets as tough as shoe leather, and you can season both the front and the back side, and you get your flavor in there.
Yeah. I think, you know, just I can't see a reason not to pull it off. I've heard that some people do leave it on, and yeah. I don't know if there's a flavor that it installs or if, like, you can pull it afterwards. But I would say that just pull that, or if you're getting Smithfield's, it's already gone.
Well, but a lot of people say, and I've had this argument with a lot of people, and they say, well, when you leave the membrane on it, you're keeping the moisture in. It doesn't matter because a well-marbled pork slab, when you're cooking it, that fat's rendering, and it's just mm-hmm. as juicy as can be. And like you just said, when you get Smithfield ribs, the marbling is perfect.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't have to worry about them drying out. I mean, you can dry them out. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, I mean, you could do that with theoretically any cut of meat. But I think if you do it well and if you do a simple, you know, the 3-2-1 has been pretty reliable for me so
right.
far. It's a really great starter recipe.
And you're exactly right. The starter, as you go on, you tweak stuff.
You know,
any recipe that you got out there, it doesn't matter. Not every recipe started the way it is right now.
Oh, of course.
And there's not any there's a few barbecuers all do the same thing. But when we went to the Royal, and you know this for a fact, Colin, there was 150 different cooks there at one time in the Invitational,
mm-hmm.
and there was 150 different flavors
oh,
and different
of course.
Textures. You know, so don't be ashamed if something you think doesn't turn out. When you don't think it's turned out, that's the best way it is.
Right, and I think when you do get a batch and you're thinking, oh, this didn't turn out well, really think about and maybe even write down what it is you didn't like and try to think of, all right, what is it that I did that caused that or what is it that I didn't do that caused
right.
that? So the first batch of ribs that I did, you know, they were supposed to be on for 6 hours. Well, they were only on for 4 because I forgot to refuel the hopper and the fire went out. So I made sure they were at temp and we had, you know, just barely done ribs. And they weren't bad by
right.
any standards because they were still smoked ribs, but they were nowhere near what my dad could produce or what I can produce now. And so the next time I made sure the hopper was topped off, and that was just a mental note that I made to myself. And now I always, it's in the back of my mind, make sure the fire doesn't go out.
But, you know, you use a 3-2-1 method.
Sure.
And I use the 4-1 method, which is
okay.
4 hours is direct smoke.
Mm-hmm.
Then I wrap them, put squeezed butter on them, a little bit of brown sugar, wrap them in foil, put them on the grill for one more hour.
Yeah, see, and honestly, I have since modified the 3-2-1 method, so I don't do it exactly as it's suggested because when I originally did it, I think it was a combination of the fact that the last hour is on, I think, 225, and that's direct heat after it's been wrapped.
Right.
And what I found was when I unwrapped them, I went and temped them, and they were at temp. So anything beyond that, any further cooking was going to overdo them and break down the binding so that the ribs would fall off the bone, which some people like, but that's not what I was going for. So I did a little less apple juice on the wrapping, and then when I put them on for that 1 hour, instead of cooking them any further, I just left it on smoke.
Right.
So that it would maintain the temp, maybe get a little bit more smoke flavor in there, but it would keep them from getting overdone. So I think you could theoretically only do like a half hour of cooking or something like that, just so you can unwrap them, get your sauce on, let that set, something like that.
Right.
I don't think you would want to unwrap them and then immediately prepare, because I think there's still a little bit more, you know, not cooking, but rendering or whatever that needs to be done to them.
Well, and you have to let them rest.
Yeah.
You've got to let them rest. Meat has got to rest. Otherwise, no matter how tender they are, they still have no flavor then. Because resting, they are absorbing back into flavor of what cooked out of them.
I think of it like steel. And there's a way to harden steel, and you stretch it, because steel has some elasticity. And you stretch it and then let it return. And you don't stretch it past its yield point, because then it loses its strength.
Right.
But when it returns back from that stretch, it gets harder. And so you think of the cooking as sort of stretching out that meat and getting all the flavor ready. And then when you let it rest, it's returning, and that flavor is hardening, so to speak, and just setting.
Right. And, you know, you're talking about ribs that fall off the bone. Have you ever tried cutting ribs that cutting a rib off that is already falling off the bone? You can't do it.
Yeah, it's you're
shredding it.
You're essentially getting pulled pork at that point.
Exactly. And so, you know what? Come on back. We're going to take a little bit of a break, and we're going to finish up pork and then go into everybody's nemesis, I call it, because it is mine, is chicken. You can either cook it or you can't. So we're going to take a quick commercial break, and stay tuned to ESPN 107.3. You're listening to the Mid-Mo Smoke Show. I'm Lyle Quast. We'll be right back.
Where there's smoke, there's fire. It's the Mid-Mo Smoke Show on ESPN 107.3.
Hey, welcome back to the Mid-Mo Smoke Show on ESPN 107.3. This segment is brought to you by the Huddle House in Cuba, home of the Huddle Up Rewards Program. So huddle up and hurry into your Cuba Huddle House today, any meal, anytime. And, you know, we're going to be back talking about the how to get your meat ready and everything. There was something I forgot to do earlier. I want to give a shout-out to Christy and all the girls there at the ZX in Sullivan on the South Service Road. You know, they started listening to us and stuff, and they do a lot for the community and stuff. So, you know, if you're listening to Sullivan, you're out and about, go by the ZX. They also got these new fuel pumps that will annoy the heck out of you, because they are video fuel pumps.
Oh, yeah.
And I got in there this morning. I thought they were talking to me from inside, and I looked, and it was a video. So, you know, there are days I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. But shout out to all the gals down there at ZX. All right, we're back. We're going to talk to about meat now. And
so we were talking over the break a little bit further about ribs, and we kind of used the term overdone a bit ambiguously, because we talked about, you know, they were at temp. And I think some people might be wondering what that temp is, because I believe 165 is where it's safe.
It's safe to eat at 165, but you're not going to get the pull off the bone clean.
Right.
So I take my ribs to 185.
Right.
And then I let them rest. And by the time they're, you know, actually done and unwrapped and everything and resting, they probably get up to close to 190.
Yeah.
But it's still not and over the top.
Right. And tissue wise, you know, my dad was doing a pork shoulder, and he really wanted to get it really, really tender. And so he was trying to get it up to 190 and right up to 200 before he pulled it off, because that 190 to 200, that's the tipping point. That's kind of the boiling point.
Exactly.
With water, where it really starts to break down. That's kind of that last straw that broke the camel's back that breaks it down, and especially the binding of the meat to the bone, and that's what'll make it really, really tender. And so with pulled pork, that's what you're aiming for.
Yes.
You want it to really pull apart. But with ribs, that's not quite the goal. So if you can get it right up to 190, right to that tipping point, but not quite over
exactly.
The crest, they're great.
I'll tell you what, pulled pork, if you can get it to 195 and take it off the fire, and, you know, it's in its, I'll wrap mine in aluminum foil, So I don't take mine out until I'm ready to start pulling it apart. At 195, I take it off the smoker. It'll get up to right around 200, like you said. And when I can reach in and pull that bone out clean, I start breaking it apart because it's already rested. And, you know, that's another thing I want to clear something up. You know, there's certain shows on TV, you see that they do a pork shoulder or something, and the little bitty pieces of meat that they got on the plate, that is not pulled pork. Pulled pork is chunks.
Yeah.
You have chopped pork, you have sliced pork, and pulled pork. And if you got it where it's so small that you got to really work to keep it on your fork because it'll fall through, that is basically chopped pork.
Mm-hmm.
And I had one guy come up to my food truck one time and told me he didn't want pulled pork like that. He wanted it real fine. I said, well, we pull it. We don't chop it. And so that's one thing. When you got the pork butt done right and you can just take it in your hands and just move it around and it just chunks apart, you got a perfect pork butt.
Yeah, and my dad, he loves these little claws that he got for pulling pork.
Yes.
They almost look like weapons.
They look like bear claws,
yeah,
if you're holding
like
them.
That.
Yeah.
And so he absolutely loves them. I think half the time he cooks a pork shoulder just so he can use them.
Well, that's his caveman coming out.
Oh, for sure. But, you know, if you don't feel like going out and getting those, garden.
Exactly. That's what I started with.
Yeah.
But don't get the chrome ones. There is some kind of enzyme in a pork shoulder that if you get the chrome ones, it will peel the chrome off.
Right. Well,
I got the porcelain ones.
It's not quite galvanized. Well, maybe it is. But essentially, that chrome is a coating that they use. And to explain it really briefly, you put it in a solution and run a current through it so that the ions stick to it. And that's how you can plate something in silver or gold or whatever. But the problem is that in the same fashion that it was coated, it can be decoated.
Right. And that's why I bought a pair of those, I call them garden rakes, the little bitty garden rakes. And mine are ceramic coated.
Okay, yeah.
I don't have to worry about it. I don't use them anymore because I got a pair of the bear claws like your dad's got.
Also, just to be clear, don't just go out to the shed and grab the ones that you were pulling weeds with in the summer. Get some new ones.
Yes, and because, you know, there's a little bit of earthworm remnants on there and stuff like that. And, you know, when you've been digging the steer manure up and around your roses, you don't want it to go through your pulled pork.
Yeah, and, you know, you don't want to be trying to differentiate between pulled pork and mulch.
Right. And so, you know, that's basically, like I said, once it's all explained, it's very simple.
Right. And so one of the issues is that we're trying to describe this and use the imagery to the best of our ability, and I think we're doing all right. But so you've talked about injecting before.
Right.
Now, and I've never injected, and I'm not entirely sure. So is there a certain place that you aim for? Do you go all around it? You try to hit the center?
I go from both ends where there's no fat cap on there.
Okay.
And I'll tip the shoulder up on one side and just start injecting. I got a great big injection needle that has three openings on it. So as I stick it all the way down in there, and it's a mixture of apple juice and white pepper, as I'm injecting and pushing it in, I'm also pulling the needle out so that it doesn't just form one great big pocket. It's going all through.
So when you go try to get to about the center and then start pulling out?
Yeah, and then once I get that side done, and you'll know because when you got enough injection in there, you lay your pork butt down with the fat cap up. One side's going to be a lot higher than the other because it balloons up.
Huh.
Just turn it over on the other side and do the exact same thing. And, yes, you're going to get stuff that sprays out. It's going to leak. It's okay.
Sure. It's apple juice and white pepper. It's not like you're losing oil or something.
Right. And, you know, a lot of people think, oh, I can't inject because when I put it in there, it sprays out. It's going to if it's full.
Yeah.
Or sometimes you hit in a spot where there's a vein, and you're hitting just right on there when you're shooting that apple juice right up the vein. That's why I'm pulling it out, too, so it's not, you know, centered on just where I got to worry about everything coming out.
Right, because then you're going to get kind of an uneven texture.
Yes, and an uneven taste.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah, you never want pocket to taste where it's like, okay, that was pretty good, and then wow, there's a lot of flavor in that bite,
exactly.
And you're looking for it again.
And like I said too, like with the brisket, if you can have your pork shoulder at room temperature, it takes injection so much easier because the muscles are pliable then.
Right.
You know, it's like trying to push injection through ice.
Yeah. Now, that being said, don't, you know, take your pork shoulder out, set it on the counter, and then go to bed and start
working on it
next morning.
No, because...
Because the second it gets to room temperature, all of a sudden, then bacteria can start to get a hold in anything that's out of the air or on your counter or something like that. You don't want... And don't put raw pork directly on your countertop surface.
Well, no. And here's another little secret for them. I don't unwrap my pork shoulder when I'm going to inject it.
Mm-hmm.
I make little slits in the plastic.
Okay.
And then do the injection. Anything that comes out is kept in the plastic bag. So you're getting a basic marinade on it,
right,
too. And then I throw all my pork butts when I'm ready in a plastic tub and carry it out to my smoker. I slit the plastic bag, take them out, and set them on the smoker.
So timeline-wise, after you've injected and made your sort of ipso facto marinade, how long are you letting that sit for a while? Do you put it back in the fridge?
No, I just wait till the temp comes up on the smoker. As soon as the temp's up, I take it out. You know, it could be 15, 20 minutes. That's
okay.
It. But it doesn't take much with pork because pork is like a sponge.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't believe me, buy you a fresh ham and try cooking it. It will, if you do not inject it, it will come out just like a piece of sponge, you know. No flavor, hard to pull, like rubber. And, you know, it's not, I come up on it by being at a competition one day. And I wonder why the guy kept his pork in a bag.
Mm-hmm.
After the competition, I asked him, he said, it works as a marinade. It keeps a mess away,
sure,
because you don't have stuff spraying everywhere.
Right.
And plus you're getting your injection, so whatever comes out is still going back in. And I've been doing that ever since. And, you know, it takes all of 5 seconds to slice that plastic bag and open it up to get the pork butt out.
Yeah, sure. And, yeah, it just it's these sorts of things that you don't really think about, and it can be several iterations before you figure that out, or you just see someone else do it, hear about someone else doing it, and then you can try it for yourself. Because these are the kinds of tips that it's not like a culinary technique or something like that. It's just something that someone figured out and passed along.
Exactly. And, you know, we got some tips coming up, too, when we're about to do chicken. I'm pretty sure if we could see the people out there, they're going to look at us like we're nuts.
Yeah.
But it's for cooking chicken thighs and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Best way in the world I found to cook them, makes them the most tender. And so I'm kind of, in a way, excited about getting onto the chicken, but in another way, I'm not excited about it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's one of those sort of necessary evils. And, you know, talking about birds, turkey is sort of the same way, where even more people are just, especially
yes,
cooking whole turkeys, it's because that's a pretty big undertaking. And
oh, absolutely.
We talked to the National Turkey Federation or
something like that. Yeah.
And they talked about it, and they're trying to get more turkey into competitions. And we've also talked about kosher competitions where they do a turkey category instead of the pulled pork. So I'd be interested to see in the upcoming years the prevalence of turkey may begin to increase.
Well, I went and bought me some fresh turkey legs.
Okay.
I wanted to try smoking them.
Hmm.
And I do them basically like I do just chicken.
Yeah.
And I didn't quite get them right because the skin was like a piece of shoe leather.
Mm.
But the interior, the meat part, was very, very good.
Yeah. My dad will do turkey breasts from time to time.
Right.
Like a big, just thick one.
And, you know, that's our next section, we're gonna discuss the chicken aspect now.
Yep.
And hopefully we're getting people where they're not so scared and getting a little information. So we're going to take a quick commercial break. And coming up in segment three, we'll hear more about from Colin and me about how to cook the different meats and how to get them ready. So make sure you keep your dial right here on ESPN 107.3. You're listening to the Mid-Mo Smoke Show. I am Lyle Quast, and we'll be right back.
The Mid-Mo Smoke Show. Expert advice on becoming the best barbecue cook or fabricator you know on ESPN 107.3.
All right, welcome back to the Mid-Mo Smoke Show on ESPN 107.3. Or you can go online at ESPN1073.com. I am your host, Lyle Quast, my co-host, Colin Fisher, and producer. And this segment is brought to you by Cowtown USA in Cuba, Missouri. Your next UTV or ATV is only one click away at CowtownUSAInc.com. And, you know, we're back and we're talking about prepping to get meat ready to go on the smoker and stuff like that. One thing I forgot to say in the other two segments was, if you can afford it, go get you a digital thermometer, meat thermometer. Because once you poke that in the middle, you got instantly, you know how far along you are. And then eventually you'll get to where you'll know how it feels.
Yeah, and it's important to get one of those instant reads.
Yes.
Something that doesn't have to sit in there for a minute, because depending on the temperature, especially if you're trying to go out and smoke right now, which I wouldn't really advise for your health.
But, well, I did it.
But bundle up, I suppose, if you're going to. But when you're opening that up, even under normal conditions, you're losing heat, but especially
yes.
right now. So the longer it takes you to get that temp reading, the more thrown out of whack your temp is going to be.
And you don't have to open up that aluminum foil that's on there. You can poke right through the aluminum foil, get to the meat, and so. All right, guys, we're back to the segment that most cooks dread, and that's the chicken segment. We're gonna detail how, you know, cooking individual pieces and cooking whole birds, and maybe me just talking to you might calm my nerves a little bit when it comes to this. In competition, you know, you've got to turn in 6 pieces of chicken. So a lot of us use chicken thighs because there's more forgiveness on the temperature. There's more window on how far you can cook it and still keep it moist. And now if you're just going to be a backyarder, some of this stuff just is not going to make a whole lot of sense to you, and that's okay.
It can translate fairly well to just chicken breasts.
Right. You can do chicken breasts, too. I like to go, and here's a little secret for you. Go get you the butter creole injection that they use for when you're frying a turkey. Best injection there ever was made for doing chicken on the smoker. And when I cook a whole chicken, I like to use the Cornish hens because they're smaller, they're more eye appealing, and I call it eye candy when you're putting it on a plate and you're serving it. So the first thing I do is I do what they call scotching the chicken, and that is cutting the spine out of it, because that way it'll open up a little bit and allow smoke to get all the way through there. And a Cornish hen's not very big. So I got my same size needle that I'm using as I inject my pork butts, and I can shove it from the top and not break the skin.
Now, if you are cooking multiple meats, if you're doing pork and chicken at once, either use different needles or
clean
them very carefully. I don't know why I'm so focused on safety this episode, but you know, you do not want to be mixing raw pork and raw chicken.
No,
you will have a bad time.
Well, I actually, in my box when I go do a catering job, I have 10 different injection syringes. And, you know, so that's just so that I can stay safe, like you said.
Yeah, and anytime, like whenever I've done chicken thighs or something like that, I've got hand sanitizer at the ready. And once I'm done rubbing, you know, hand sanitizer. If I'm using a tray to prep them, I don't use the same tray when
right.
I get them off the grill. Wash everything thoroughly. Don't mix anything because that stuff can get contaminated, and salmonella is just a bad time.
Well, that's why I use rubber gloves.
Mm-hmm.
While I'm prepping everything, I get done with the chicken, I peel them off, throw them away. I got clean hands.
Yeah. One thing people might not know, I learned this in one of my classes and was kind of surprising. We can make chickens without the salmonella. The salmonella is a bacteria that is just present in chicken, and we could get rid of the salmonella and make salmonella-free chicken. The problem is, even though the salmonella is toxic to us, the chickens need it to survive.
Yeah.
So if you got rid of the salmonella, the chickens would die. So it's this kind of a symbiosis for the chicken, but not so much for us.
Well, I mean, it's better to have the chicken and us take the care, because we're supposed to be intelligent enough to know how to do this.
So. Yeah, certainly. It's a lot easier to just wash your hands than exactly. to try to genetically modify some super chicken.
Yes, and make sure, like Colin said, that once you get done prepping your chicken, you wash your knives off with soap and hot water, because you're going to use them knives down the road again on you know, cutting that chicken later on or whatever. So we were injecting the breasts, and then you just... You know, you don't have to do this like you see on TV or at the competition, scrape the fat of your backyard and cooking for your family. That's not a big deal. Just put it on the smoker. And I lay it open towards the bottom with the breast side up, and it takes about 2.5 hours. And with a chicken, that's about all you want to do it, because that's as much time as it's going to take to smoke it. And also with chicken, you can use a little saltier rub on it. It'll be okay. And as with pork, I like to put extra sugar in it, because then it gets that real nice bark on the outside where the sugar is caramelized. And
yeah, you talk about if you're doing chicken wings, that brine, you know, I always think about it,
because
those were
too.
Just the best wings I'd ever had.
And he had a sweet brine. A lot of sugar in it.
Well, and that was what kind of made it, you know, get sort of sticky. And it didn't quite, like, caramelize, but it felt like there was a sauce on it.
Yeah, and he had some, I don't know where he got his chicken wings from.
Yeah. They were,
but he had some meaty ones.
Oh, yeah. Those were
fantastic. And, you know, what I'm telling you about what you're doing with these Cornish hens, you can do with turkey, you can do with chicken, you can do it with duck, quail, dove, anything, even wild meat. And it just takes a little bit of watching time. And as far as cooking it, you can use what they call the beer can method, where you set your chicken up on top of a beer can. All the liquid is evaporating, getting into your meat. You can lay it down flat like I do. There's just so much you could do when it comes to them. And, yes, I am scared, because you have to watch. Dark meat cooks faster than white meat. I don't know why, but it does. And so, you know, don't just tempt your breasts on your chicken and think, oh, well, when that's done, I'll be fine, because you're going to have shoe leather for dark meat.
You know what? I forget where I heard it, and it might have been on this show, so sorry if I'm repeating myself, but it turns out that the reason you get dark meat and white meat in birds like chickens and turkey is because they can't fly and they have to walk around so much.
Exactly. And the muscles on your legs are used more, makes it the dark meat.
Right.
And so here's a little hint for you. When you're done with your chicken, get an aluminum pan, lay your chicken in there, put a little bit of water in there, or chicken broth, whichever you want, and squirt some squeezed butter on there and let it sit in a pan. The skin will come back to life, that's what I call it anyhow, and it'll be where you can actually eat it. And you get all the flavoring then and stuff. So
yeah, and if you go back to our Science of Barbecue episode, you'll hear about transglutaminase, which is basically meat glue. And
yeah.
you can stick that skin right back on there.
Exactly. And I like cooking chicken thighs. That's my favorite thing to cook and eat. And one thing that I learned, and anybody who watches Barbecue Pitmasters, Myron Mixon is on there.
Mm-hmm.
And we call it cupcake chicken. You trim the bones off, cut the knuckles off each end of the bone, fold the skin underneath, and set it skin side down inside a cupcake pan.
Hmm.
And the best ones are to get those silicone ones, because then you don't have to worry about the metal and all this and
that. Yeah.
And put it in an aluminum pan and pour a little bit of chicken broth around it and let it smoke. Don't cover them up. Just set them on the smoker.
You know what? I'm looking at a recipe right now, and I'm seeing pictures that highlight exactly what you're saying.
And it works. And, I mean, flavor-wise, it's beautiful. I mean, that's what I don't
use
that
talk about beautiful. These look
yes,
like it looks like something you'd get at some 5-star restaurant. These things are gorgeous. Well,
and the reason I like using the silicone ones, and Myron pointed this out to me, Myron Mixon did, it's got a hole in the bottom. So when you lift them up out of the chicken broth, all the chicken broth drains. Then you just tip them over on a, I call it a cooling screen. Set them back in the smoker and let them get good and smoked up. Put your glaze on and there you go. And awesome chicken. It really is. Friend of mine told me, he said, you can tell how a chicken thigh is cooked right. He takes the whole thing, puts it in the mouth, grabs a bone and pulls a bone out. And then just sits there and chews on the rest. He says, that's when you can tell a chicken thigh is cooked right. I never thought of that, but that was his way, and that's I started using that system. That's why I cook extra ones. Yeah. You know, you got to check them.
Sure.
And the turkey, you do about the same way. It just takes a lot longer to cook a turkey. And it's going to be hard to get that skin right on them. They're just so big.
Yeah. You know what? So for Thanksgiving, we did a turkey, and what my dad was doing, he had a system going, and he was slow cooking it and that kind of stuff, and the turkey took up pretty much most of the smoker.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have a little theory on why this happened, but what happened was about an hour before it was supposed to be done cooking, he temped it, and it was at temp.
Right.
And he didn't want to overcook it, so he took it off and let it set. And so we were wondering how/why it got to going, and I was taking thermal analysis at the time, and my theory is that due to that constricted volume, you were forcing a lot more air movement, which was forcing some convection and speeding up that heat transfer.
And that's probably 100% truth to
right.
it. Because
and so make sure you've got the right volume there, because that can actually affect your cook time.
Right, and make sure, like you guys did, okay, an hour before you thought it was supposed to be ready, you tempt it,
mm-hmm.
and it was done.
Yeah.
And make sure you keep an eye on that stuff. It's not one of these where you just throw it on and, the bird will come off when it's done. It don't happen that way.
Well, especially when you're trying to feed 16 people for Thanksgiving. You don't really want to leave something to chance.
Exactly. And with my smoker, I'm lucky I can take racks out.
Oh, nice.
And lay it on the bottom rack, and it's still enough room for the smoke to all get around it. Excuse me. But what you did is 100% right.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, we're going to take another quick break. Make sure you don't go anywhere, because when we come back, Colin's going to have our recipe of the week. So you're listening to the Mid-Mo Smoke Show on ESPN 107.3 or online at ESPN1073.com. I'm Lyle Quast, and we'll be right back.
Now, the Mid-Mo Smoke Show on ESPN 107.3.
Welcome back to the Mid-Mo Smoke Show. I'm your host, Lyle Quast, and this segment of our show is brought to you by Wind Supply in Rolla, offering the best prices and selection on Traeger pellet cookers and Milwaukee tools. And you also can get your yummy tummy barbecue sauce there, too. So that's Wind Supply of Rolla, located on Twitty Drive in Rolla. And now it's time for this week's recipe of the week, and that's brought to you by Timber Charcoal, making outstanding hardwood lump charcoal for over 40 years, and it's available at Cox Brothers in St. James. And Colin's got our recipe. I don't know what he's picked out for this week.
So I figured, since we were talking about chicken thighs, and to my memory, at least recently, we haven't really done a chicken thigh recipe. I think we've done a couple of like chicken breasts or some brines, but
right.
I found a recipe for a competition chicken thighs.
Okay.
And I just clicked on it. This was the top recipe that I found on the Google results. And so I just read this. And as a Kansas City Barbecue Society judge, I've seen and tasted some of the best competition chicken out there, especially when I judged the Jack Daniel's World Championship Invitational Barbecue. They have also, so they've studied the best pitmasters.
Da-dun,
there's one for the blooper reel. But the best pit masters to learn how they cook competition chicken thighs. They've attended barbecue school, and they're sharing what they've learned to create a winning turn-in box. And So then I look over, and this is a website called Girls Can Grill.
There you go.
And I hadn't ever seen it. And there's a picture of, I assume, the author over here, and it's, hi, I'm Christy, the girl who is forever hovering over a grill, smoker, or campfire with tongs in one hand and a glass of wine in the other. I'm a competitive barbecuer, a certified barbecue judge, a master of beef advocacy, top of the class graduate, and the owner of more than 20 cookers.
Sounds like Melissa Cooks.
A little bit. She's got a bit of catching up to do, but
she's getting there.
Yeah. Certainly more than I have. So it's interesting because they talk about, if you scroll all the way down, there's a fire and ice women's barbecue competition.
Right.
And or the women's championship barbecue series. And, you know, we've seen a lot of the teams, especially the two-man teams, are usually a husband and wife pair,
right,
something like that. You've got Melissa Cookston, the queen of barbecue. And there's all sorts of women that are just amazing cookers. And, you know, in a lot of ways, when it comes to this kind of stuff, especially if you're looking at it as sort of the science, there are a lot of women that are just smarter than us.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, the thing is, women have the patience.
Oh, yeah. It's
men don't, and I'll be the first one to admit that. I'm not patient. If I'm cooking ribs, I want them yesterday.
Right, because you see a bone and you revert to your caveman Fred Flintstone days. But
so,
yeah, so it's always interesting to see kind of that difference with how they're going to approach it. And I'm really excited because at the Royal, I saw a lot of women there that,
yes,
were contributing to it. And it's an exciting dynamic with that. And it also, it's something that, you know, men and women can do together. Like I,
absolutely,
said, husbands and wives. And I really want to, once it warms up, I want to get my girlfriend, you know, doing ribs with me. And
there
that
you
kind
go.
Of stuff. And so this is a really in-depth article on selecting the chicken, trimming the chicken. I'll kind of go through it, but I'm also going to post a link on our website, ESPN1073.com/MidMoSmokeShow. So go there and check it out. And I'll be interested to return to this website because this Christy person, she's very well qualified. She's been around. She knows what she's talking about. And so I'm very interested because, like I said, she judged the Jack Daniels.
Right.
And so that's a pretty big deal, as we talked to
you
David Bosco.
You
got to
know what you're doing.
Yeah. And so, let's see. I can't really tell you which rub to use. Judges in different areas of the country have different preferences. Heck, judges in the same area of the country have different preferences. My recommendation is that you make it memorable but not overpowering. I enjoy a balance of salt, sweet, pepper, and umami. For anyone who's not familiar with umami, it's a Japanese word for basically savory.
Yeah.
It's that MSG. Monosodium glutamate. Glutamate is basically what triggers that umami, and it's sort of a savory, salty type of thing. You can find it on Amazon. It's what is in a lot of Asian cooking.
Right.
And a lot of fast food. So, and Cheez-Its, apparently.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't know that. I think it's the white cheddar Cheez-Its. I was looking at the nutrition facts, and I was like, wow, that's a lot of protein. And I found they have whey protein and then monosodium glutamate.
Well, I'll be darned. Well, yeah. Isn't that a preservative, too?
Might be, because of the salt, the sodium in there.
Yeah.
But, so, she says, my go-to rubs are usually Code 3 spices and Luton Booty barbecue varieties mixed with a few extra ingredients like raw sugar and mustard powder. So, rub your competition thighs on both sides and on top and under the skin. Fold it back together into that pretty chicken pillow. And it really does look pretty. So, and then they take a mini loaf pan and put a pat of butter in the bottom of the pan, put in your chicken, put in some chicken broth, and then another pat of butter, and that'll give you that nice moisture. So, place the seasoned thighs in the pan skin side down and top each with a thin pat of butter. This allows that skin to really soften so there's no tug when the judges take a bite. Smoke it in the pan at 270 to 300 degrees for about 1 hour and 15 minutes. It's time to flip the birds so they're skin side up to help firm up the skin. You don't want to ruin all of that hard work you did making these so darn pretty, so be gentle about it. And then the final prep, this is where it starts to look like a five-star meal to me. When you have about 45 minutes before turn-in, remove the thighs from the pan and place them on a baking rack. Combine your favorite sauce in a bowl. I add a little bit of broth to the sauce with some extra flavor secrets. Sorry, can't tell you everything. which is kind of nice because that gives you a chance to find out your
exactly. own. Exactly. Do your own thing.
Yeah. So use seafood forks, dunk each thigh into the sauce, coating them all over, place them back on the baking rack, place the rack on the smoker, and smoke for 20 minutes to let the sauce set. And, yeah, 20 minutes to set that sauce is going to give you a real nice bark.
And you're going to get a little smoke on that sauce, too.
So, and then you take your best six and you turn them in. So, once again, there's a lot more to this article that I can't really get through in just this one segment. And so you can find it. It's step-by-step photos for creating winning competition chicken thighs on girlscangrill.com. It's really interesting, really in-depth, and very well done. And these pictures are fantastic. And it was written in partnership with Cowboy Charcoal.
There you go. You know, and... you know, the amazing part was the stuff I was saying before, by accident, you pulled up this website.
Yeah, it was just a coincidence. I was looking at this, and I happened to scroll to the place in the pictures where it was just practically narrating what you were talking about.
So, and, you know, remember, you get these recipes or ideas of other recipes, just go to our website, ESPN1073.com, and download them to your computer. And I know we're getting close to...
Yeah. Well, you know, you talk about those recipes that are on that website. You know, Josh from Yummy Tummy, he went back, he found our... It was the chocolate devil's food cake, right?
Yeah, with
Yummy Tummy Inferno.
And
he made Inferno cupcakes.
And he at first thought we were nuts, but he said they turned out not too bad.
Yeah, well, because chocolate and heat in the right... kind of way will go really well.
Oh, hand in hand. Well, he said too that when he put the cherry pie filling on there, it just put them completely over the top.
Yeah.
So
you know, you can smoke just about anything. You can throw barbecue sauce, especially Yummy Tummy, into just about anything.
Absolutely.
And you know, I wouldn't suggest going out there and buying 300 pounds of meat to play around with, but have some fun with these recipes.
Yeah.
And you know, anything that we share, we try to give credit to wherever they were found, but use these as a base and figure out your own way. Make your own flavor profile here. And like this person said, they've got their own flavor secrets. So if you're going to throw in some more Worcestershire or, you know, some variety of pepper, I didn't know there are thousands of varieties of different salts.
Oh, yeah.
So you can...
I like the Himalayan pink salt.
Exactly. So you can throw in Himalayan pink salt, sea salt, whatever you want, and... just really make it your own.
And the great part is everybody's got different taste buds.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, guys, it is time to wrap these things up. I hope we helped you a lot this weekend and last weekend. So the Mid-Mo Smoke Show is heard live every Saturday morning from 9 to 10. This show is produced in the Mid-Missouri Media Studios in Rolla, Missouri, and engineered by Colin Fisher. Don't forget, you can always listen to a podcast of this show. Just go to our website at ESPN1073.com. Click Programming in the Mid-Mo Smoke Show. I'm Lyle Quast, and for Colin Fisher, thanks for joining us. Until next week, we'll smoke you later.
You've been listening to the Mid-Mo Smoke Show on ESPN 107.3 with expert advice from the Pitmaster, Lyle Quast. Saturdays from 9 till 10 a.m. on ESPN 107.3.